Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. And visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our other stuff. Willie Bad Movies, First Time React. I can't get anything past the copyrights. If you've got copyright tips for YouTube, please reach out. Let's welcome aboard the SS RLSF gamer, musician, makeup artist, and hairstylist, Kat Smo. You can find her Twitch at the Professor's Wife X. That's just the Professor's Wife with an X at the end. Kat Smo, what's up?
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here. Your setup is amazing. We have to mention it because it puts ours to shame. Well, Willie's is okay. Mine's just my living room.
I'm obsessed with neon and noir and, you know, I'm like a Fifth Element Blade Runner type of gal.
Oh, that is up my, I was trying to pitch a show that's like a, I mean, that is that only with kids and stuff. And it was going to be awesome, but nobody
but with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Imagine Goonies in Blade Runner.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's never really been done, has it?
No, but you know what? I feel like people are maybe sick of kids now because Stranger Things happened and now everything is kids, you know?
Hey, I've got a 2-year-old and I'm never sick of him ever.
No, you're sick. You're sick of kids. You're the boss of your kid. I can be sick of your kids on your behalf if it would make you feel better.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It makes me want, thinking of Blade Runner, makes me want to come up with just something you can hang on your little computer or whatever that looks like it's raining. Just like a practical camera. I mean, it would be blurry and out of focus, so never mind.
Brainstorming, it's okay.
No. There's a way to do it. It could be like a 3-inch little thing. Well, whatever. And there would be water running through it. I think it's doable. I think we can crack it. Not tonight, though. Tonight, we got to talk about something. Wait, but we're not ready. We're not ready for the topic, so put the People's Court theme away. Kat, is it weird? Now that I know your name's Katie, I want to call you Katie.
You can call me Katie.
I'll probably oscillate between the two. How about that?
And that's what everybody does, honestly. Sometimes people are like, what do you want to be called, Kat or Katie? And I'm like, I literally do not care.
Yeah,
I've moved so much in my life that different names have stuck in different places. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just all of them, whatever you want.
Well, wait, where are you now? Are you in LA?
Name fluid. Yes.
Name fluid.
Yeah, I've had so many people call me Bill and I'm just like, I just answer to it the same. Sure. I'm like, I don't care. Like,
wait, why? People call you Bill?
Yeah. Well, like when I go to work, sometimes people know my name's William and I'm like, why? You know, I put Willie on everything.
Oh, but it's not. Fun fact about Willie, on his birth certificate, it's Willie. It's not William.
Oh, wow. Do you know what?
That's not true.
My
is it not true?
No. Really, for a second, I was like, wow, I have a grandfather who was named Billy, and it was Billy on his birth certificate.
I don't understand why everybody needs to shorten William.
Right?
Is William too hard to say? I guess it is. All right, but
too classy.
Back to you. Back to you, Katie. I'm going to be in my head now. I'm so sorry.
It's my fault. I did this to you.
How into this world are you? Do you enjoy looking this stuff up? And by this stuff, I mean, we got Bigfoot back there. We're talking about ghosts. We're talking about conspiracies of all types.
Yeah. Listen, I have crazy knowledge of these things. Now, here's why, though. Hear me out. My mother was, since I was very, very young, very into the paranormal. And I mean, extremely. She is just balls deep in the she thinks that now who knows, but she thinks that Bigfoot will not be recognized by the government because they don't want to give Bigfoot rights. She thinks,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you recognize it's intelligent. Yeah.
Y'all haven't heard that one? Is that new?
I haven't heard it.
But yeah, so I was raised watching all the shows, and my mom would always be like, oh, that's a ghost, this and that. So naturally, as a rebellious child, I started being, I played a lot of Ouija too. Oh, I love playing Ouija, but I kind of was like, I think this might be kind of horseshit, until a couple of things have happened to me that I cannot explain. And they're not by any means anything really intense or, you know, movie worthy or anything like that. But they were enough that it gave me pause, and also were witnessed by other people. So that's the main thing, too. I've seen things probably where I thought, oh, well, this is probably just my mind. But some of the stories I have for you tonight, there were other people who witnessed the same thing and can corroborate the story. And that made me feel a little more sane in what I witnessed. Yeah.
Okay. We'll put a pin in that, because we do something here on the show called the Wow Scale.
Wow Scale.
Are you a wait or are you a Willie?
Well, it stands for Wait or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a wait. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. I'm the skeptic, he's the believer.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready to be weighed on the Wow Scale?
I'm ready.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Ooh, I do believe in aliens, but it's more just like from a scientific outlook, where I think, I mean, there can't not be aliens, right? Now, do I think that they've visited Earth? Probably, but I don't think they really care about us in the way that people think that aliens really care about. I think that they're doing time travel stuff. They stop and get gas, and maybe they're out of their way. I don't know. I can't explain it, but that's where I am on that. So I don't know. And I would doubt that they have been here in the last 300 years.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. All right. I'm doubting myself as I'm saying all these things. I'm like, well, I don't know.
I know. It is weird sometimes. I do that too. I'll be saying stuff. I'm like, and then I'll stop. I'm like, do I believe? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I guess I do now. I just said it. I'm locked in.
I know.
All right, ghosts.
Yes. Okay. Why are these all so complicated? I believe that we don't understand energy. I'm kind of a pragmatist. I'm like, I think that we don't understand the transfer of energy all the way yet. I mean, for God's sakes, like, toilets were only kind of recently invented by all accounts. And so how can we know how energy moves in space in an accurate way? So I'm going to say yes, but I don't believe necessarily that they're like ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't know, but maybe I do.
I don't know. Okay. All right. So yes, with a caveat, but sort of maybe just a yes.
Energy without a wire? What are you talking about?
Energy without a wire, honey. Have you ever heard of Bluetooth? It's scary.
You guys, it's weird that you just said that, because I'm watching this show called From, and I guess it's Canadian and it's on Epix. I never heard of it before because it's Canadian and it's on Epix, but there's 3 seasons of it and I'm watching it right now. There is electricity without wires, and it's a big part. It's a big part of the show.
Wow. Nice. I'll have to watch that.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's okay.
I'm gonna check it out.
It's like one of these reactions to Lost, only it's like 10 years too late, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Basically, these people end up in a town and they can't get out of it. And so they're trying to figure it out, which is like totally up my alley. Bigfoot. You believe in Bigfoot?
No. Hard no on that one.
Even though your mom is a staunch Bigfoot supporter.
Man, I have watched I've watched countless videos with her where she's like, see, and I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm science-based. I think that if there was Bigfoot, somebody would have stumbled across a bone by now. Do you know what I mean? Think about like true crime stories. Like people find shit in all kinds of weird places. Why aren't we finding Bigfoot?
It's because he's an interdimensional traveler.
Oh, is it?
That's what I've heard.
okay. And I've heard that too, that it's because he can't be seen by the human, but that seems quite convenient.
Well, it's also contradictory, right? Because we have seen him. We have a whole image of him. So how did we get that? Did he psychically tell us what he looked like?
Let's see the picture.
Projection.
We can't see him. That's one of the things, Willie. Have you heard this? That he's got some kind of cloaking device
and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's according to my mom, and she's the expert.
So he's like Predator.
I've heard of how they project, that they can cloak.
Yes.
But
so that they so if you're looking directly at them, you can't see them somehow, but somehow cameras can snap like one or two of their fast moving disintegrating bones. I don't know.
Yeah. And the camera always makes them look like a person in a human suit for some reason. That's another one of their powers.
I would love for him to be real. Look, I'm not over here hating on Bigfoot. I'm just
no, everybody loves Bigfoot. We got one.
That's true.
Okay. Illuminati.
Ooh, yes. I think that the Illuminati is definitely real, but I don't think it's anything like what people think it is. I think it's actually like truly just some gnarly, like really rich people doing really weird stuff that have had money for a really long time and are just kind of frat buddies with all their other buddies. And that's how they make decisions.
Do you think that they are controlling the world or do you think they're just fucking with us?
Yeah, I do think they control the world, but in the way that... I don't know. I feel like the Illuminati is just a bunch of frat boys or something like, like the way that when you go to a frat party and they're like, everything's under control and like nothing's under control. And they're like, so out of touch. Like, I feel like the Illuminati probably thinks they have it under control, but really like, they're just like getting drunk on some private island and like making ridiculous decisions and thinking that they're good, but they're so far away from reality that, you know, I don't know.
God, that would be fun. I want to be in that circle. How does a guy like me end up in that circle?
You can't just be born into it.
But couldn't I con my way in? They all seem kind of stupid, right? Like I bet I could con my way in somehow.
Okay.
We've seen parallels of just rich people not knowing what normal people do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like one of my funny examples, I mean, it's not that funny, but like, when I worked on the talk for a while and like at one point Sharon Osbourne had to run a vacuum and she didn't know how to run it. But I'm like, you know, modern vacuums are different, but
there's tragic stories of that too, of children who were raised in Hollywood with rich, well-to-do parents. And then the parents' money dried up or something tragic happened. And they literally were like adults and went out into the world and couldn't figure out how to life because they had servants there, you know, or, you know, like some Grey Gardens type.
Yeah.
I know. I'd love to be that out of touch.
What a dream.
I know.
Just no really? Worries. Just like, let's go buy another $30,000 watch. Okay, last question. The multiverse.
This is the closest thing I would have to a hard yes.
Really? Do you think that you've crossed over? Have you you got any Willie help me out? The guy I can't remember all of a sudden reason.
Oh, Mandela effects and
listen, I can't believe I'm going to say this live on the internet, but I've had some premonitions before that have been really strong and not coincidence. And I've told the people around me and been like, dude, sometimes I get these, what I call like psychic downloads, like these zaps of stuff, or like, you know, when memories kind of rub a little funny, you walk up deja vu, you know, that's a classic. I do think that that actually ties in with ghosts a little bit, where I think that time has all happened and will happen and did happen and is happening. And if the multiverse is just like big, if time is a loaf of bread and there's multiple loaves of bread just all over the place, they're going to touch each other and weird stuff's going to happen. And maybe that's what ghosts are. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Like if you bake two loaves of bread too close in the oven, they can become one and then you have to cut them to separate them. So that's a good analogy for the multiverse.
Yeah, I think it was Einstein who called time a loaf of bread, so I can't take that credit.
but you can add the marbled version,
right? Give me that marble rye. That's my shit. I love bread, dude.
Wait, hang on, just so that I can be correct when I call something awesome. When was sliced bread invented?
It was after Betty White was born. She, you know, I remember them saying she was older than sliced bread. I think it was 1919. She was older than that.
Really? It had to have been in the Industrial Revolution when...
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So what? So that would have been... So now I'm thinking about Einstein.
No?
So he would have known about sliced bread.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, maybe he didn't know about slices. Yeah, no, he definitely did.
I think he knew. So, okay. So he is the one who said that time is like a loaf of bread. You are 1, 2, 3... I mean, you called yourself a skeptic. You're kind of a like a 3.5 or maybe even a 4. So
I thought I'd be shooting down the middle, but I'm leaning towards
a little bit, a tiny, tiny little bit. You're leaning towards Willie.
High five, buddy.
Yeah, if Bigfoot is your only savior, like, yeah, you're leaning this way.
Well, I'm just in the camp of I don't know, and I don't pretend to know, but I know what I've experienced, and I know, you know, it's helpful when somebody has witnessed it as well at the same time. So that with that loose anecdotal evidence, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
You're coming at the questions very academically, and I think you could just say that you have an open mind, right?
I think you're right, too.
Okay, well, let's get into it. I can't wait to hear some of these ghost stories. Willie, hit us with that topic.
And before I do, sliced bread was 1928, so my grandma was older than sliced bread, too. So I need to...
You're right. Wow.
It's so much more recent than you think, right?
God, so think. I mean, we think about the roaring 20s being like this glamorous time, and they didn't even have sliced bread.
They had cars. They had cars, but not sliced bread. Fucking priorities, I mean, man.
Sliced bread came out after the Depression. It doesn't seem right.
No, it seems that would be on the... Yeah. We got all this bread. Everyone's broke. All right, Willie, hit us with the top.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Poltergeists and Ghosts. Our guest Kat has some ghost stories from her travels around the world, and we'll hear those, and then we'll get into a newer take on what poltergeist could be tonight.
Ooh, wait, hang on. I don't want to interrupt your thing, but Polterbites is a pretty good theme diner.
I'm picturing little candies that look like ghosts.
Were you thinking poultry when you said Polterbites?
Well, I thought you said Polterbites, but Poultry Bites is also good. Alone for Thanksgiving? Poultry Bites.
I know. Chicken sandwiches are the hottest thing right now.
It's poultry bites. I can't even
say it. I kind of interrupted your thing. Do you want to do it again?
Then we'll get into a newer take on what poltergeist could be tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Did you say it right this time? Because you cut out during poltergeist for me.
Oh, really? We're having some.
Both of us?
Yeah.
I think we're getting censored. I think the man has finally found us. It's only taken him 11 years.
Maybe the poltergeists don't want to be talked about.
Yeah, they're pretty noisy.
Sorry, poltergeists. We're going to talk about you. And I know that there's none here because I don't believe in them.
If your neighbor does, that can affect you, according to
Well, we'll see. Tonight, but anyway. They are Mexican, so they probably do, right? I mean, Mexicans have a huge... Day of the Dead, right? All that stuff.
I would say most religious people have to believe in some sort of, sure, demons, but also ghosts, apparitions, poltergeists, all the things.
Kat, I wanted to ask you about your upbringing because you said you moved around a lot. Were you like an army brat or were you just moving around all the time?
No, my parents are musicians. They met on the road in the 70s.
Fucking awesome.
Isn't that a sick story? Unfortunately... They were musicians, which means that, you know, they were a little wild. They were a little wild and had a little bit more fun than maybe a parent should. But I love them and they were great. But I was born in L.A. My dad had a contract here. He was writing songs and doing his stuff. And then he used to write mostly just country music. So we moved to Nashville and then my mom and dad separated. So I moved up to Detroit. And then I moved to Denver, and then I moved to Nashville again, and then I moved to Tampa, and then I moved back to California. So here we are.
What's with all the moves? Why? Because your mom was moving? Or is this when you were on your own?
Yeah, well, no, I moved a lot when I was older. So I was in Detroit during the recession, and it was bleak, man. It was really bleak. Detroit is balling out now. They have really done something magical. I highly encourage anybody to go visit Detroit. But
they sold a bunch of houses for a dollar, I think, right?
They did, Yeah, in Baltimore, they did the same thing, but they didn't let a bunch of big corporations buy up those dollar houses. Yes. Detroit
so
is
proud.
Very, like, for the people. It's really incredible. Anyways, it was the recession, and I wanted to get out of there, and Denver was doing pretty good. And so I bailed and went to Denver in about 2009. Then I moved to Nashville to start my own music career, as opposed to, you know, living there for my father's as a young girl. And then I switched to hair and makeup and moved to Tampa and St. Pete. And I did a lot of work there. And then I just missed L.A. I just missed it.
What kind of music do you do?
I had a band in my 20s. I'm 37 now. We put
It's okay. Congrats. You can be late 30s. That's fine. I'm mid 40s.
Yes. And you're looking brilliant, honey. I love it.
Oh, thank you. You as well.
Thank you.
So wait, but is it like rock or what kind of?
Yeah, it is. Surprise. Yeah.
You sing and play? What do you play?
I do. Yeah. I wrote all the songs, arranged them, was band leader, singer, and played keys. And
nice.
Yeah. And you have to remember the time. It sounded like Queens of the Stone Age mixed with the Strokes.
Okay.
And it is available on Spotify. I'm just saying.
Oh, what's it called?
What was the name? Yeah.
Cat Smo.
Oh, Cat Smo.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, find it on Spotify. And hey, if you ever want to do another band, I'm a drummer. So
I would
me up.
Adore that. Do you have time? That's the question.
I have all the time in the world. I lost 2 jobs last week. So.
And I can't do instruments, but I can do a little congas bongos, but also just harmonize. I'm just a harmony person in the background.
That's what you should do. If we start a band, we'll get Willie like some bongos and like some little cymbals that don't really make much noise, and we won't give him sticks or anything. He'll just have to hit everything with his hands, and then he can sing as well.
Okay, we got to recruit Bigfoot for this as well.
Okay, we'll get Bigfoot on bass.
Hopefully he can play bass. Yeah, stand up bass. That would be nice.
Well, Zach, we could just get Zach to do bass, and he's kind of a Bigfoot already. You remember Zach?
But nobody can see Bigfoot, so they'll be like, what's up with that? Stand up bass.
We'll just get a floating guitar.
That's crazy.
Okay, let's talk about these ghost stories. Also, how'd you enjoy Denver? Because we're both from Colorado. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, Mike, before you answer that question, were you there before the weed rush?
I was
2000.
Right there, baby. The first year, the very first year that it was decriminalized. Really exciting time. Really cool time to be there. The DNC
huge
was there
huge
year too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff happening there. I went to a Secret Rage Against the Machine show and marched like, you know, I was a little activist back then. And
wait, where was the secret show? Was it at a venue or was it like outside?
It was at a college. Listen, now this is a story I don't know if you have time for, because this is a great story. But we'll save it for later. We'll save it for the next one.
Let's do it for the bonus. So if you want to stick around, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi and we'll hear that story on the bonus. That's how you do it. You got to get them on the hook.
I love it. This ain't my first rodeo, baby.
Let's start with some ghost stories. So, Willie, it's up to you. I don't know how you want to do this. You'll have some supplemental things to like.
I don't know we'll see how they shape
up. We'll see.
Yeah.
It might work. So it's like when you throw a song under some montage that you're making and you're like, this works. I don't even have to recut it. That could happen.
Hey, sometimes you do highlights and you don't even have to tone them. They're just beautiful. That's a magical thing because you get to save 15 minutes.
Can I ask you about my hairstyle? Do I go shorter? I don't like the incredibly bald cop look, so I don't want to just shave my head.
I think everything you've got going on actually really, really works, and I want to commend you.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
I'm really serious. Yeah, your beard has this really incredible accent in it, and it's not long and you know, crazy. It's not too long to like, you know, look like you're trying to compensate down here for maybe something
right
up here.
Oh, my God. You get me.
Yeah.
I feel seen.
But you don't look
seen
like a cop. You're winning.
I mean, thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I believe you. And I love it. I love
good it. Yeah. Yeah. You're both very, very handsome.
Oh, my God. I've never been flattered so much.
Yeah. Great smile.
Okay. So take us to the setting of your first ghost story. Which town is it? And what's the era? And then take it from there.
So I had my best friend at the time was a traveling nurse. I was living in Nashville at the time, and she needed to drive to LA. And of course, I'm like, I'll go with you. I love driving. Are you guys road trip people?
Hell yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We should drive to Colorado at least once a year for like at least 10 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that I feel that I've got so much to say about that. But so we were kind of travel buddies. Every time that she went on a big long drive, I would go with her. And so we drove and saw all kinds of stuff and saw the whole country, drove back and forth multiple times.
Can I just really quick before I forget and before you get too into the story, what is a traveling nurse? This sounds like something out of the 40s.
A traveling nurse is somebody who has a horse and buggy and sells snake oil, and she goes around to each town.
Oh, it's pre-40s.
You're right.
This is like 1840s.
She goes wah 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 a lot. I don't know, but I'm still her friend. No, a traveling nurse is somebody who's a scab, essentially. By scab, I mean, that's like an old term as well. So somebody who fills in while nurses are on strike.
Uh-huh.
not a lot of people know this. There's a whole fleet
of
like nurse reserves, essentially, is like kind of what they are. And they're called traveling nurses. And what happens is if a strike happens in the medical community, that you can't just go without nurses, people will die. So they've got, you know, people who travel to fill those spots until the strike is resolved. And that's their whole job.
Wow.
And they don't pay for their travel
to LA.
Right. They don't. Yeah. They get paid very handsomely.
Are they not looked down upon by the nurses in the union?
It's not. Yeah. It's, okay. You know, it's 6 1 way, half a dozen the other, you know, she's
it's
doing
probably a not as bad as like movie scabs because like people will die, but.
Right.
It's 100% not as bad as movie scabs. There's no reason to make a movie, but there's like 100 reason to like replace a heart.
Need a nurse scab. Yeah. Yeah. They got to help you when you've got scabs.
Yeah. No. Okay. So you guys are on the road from, you said Nashville to LA. Yeah.
Correct. We decided to go to Tombstone, Arizona. Have you guys ever been to Tombstone?
I haven't. No.
What? You guys have a sci-fi like thing going on?
We've been to Sedona.
Okay. That's
yeah. Cool. Eat shit.
Tombstone is crazy because it's kind of like the people there really act like it's the wild, wild west. They really, really do. And we went into like the one saloon there. It's called Big Nose Kate. We were sitting up at the bar doing shots of whiskey. And we caught the attention of a guy at the end of the bar. Okay. And when I tell you that he looked like a cartoon character of a prospector, he really did. He had the mustache. He had the floppy hat. He had a gun on his hip. He had a satchel of gold nuggets. This man was incredible. And like lines just weathered down his face.
Was he paid to be there just to pretend?
I asked him that. I was like, is this like for the atmosphere or something? And he was like, hell no, I dig for gold. That was his whole shtick. He was into it. And I believed him. I thought, well, surely, I mean, this place was, Tombstone's quite podunk. You know, it's not, I'm using a Southern term. I would be highly surprised. It's not Disneyland. You know what I mean? Like we're curating an atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I believed this guy. But so that being said, he and I and my friend, we take a couple shots. We're having a good time. And all of a sudden he gets like real serious. Like we're all just shooting the shit, having fun. Like the three of us are now. He says, like leans in real close. And he's like, y'all ever seen a ghost? You know? And I'm like, I don't know. And he goes, well, I have. They're all over these parts, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay, tell me all about it. So I wasn't present for this, but this man pulled out a flip phone and showed me a photograph of like looked like a soldier from the Civil War or something. Like he had like, you just could tell, like he had a hat with that little brim on and stuff. And it was a white apparition, but he was standing inside of a desk, like a wooden desk. So you could see his figure from the waist up and his legs shouldn't be in the desk. Right. And I remember being like, oh, this is bullshit. Like this is something off of whatever. And he was very serious. And he was like, it's not bullshit. He's like, I saw that with my eyes and I took a picture of it. And I believed him, and it was clear as day. It looked like what you would think a traditional ghost would look like. Like you could see the outline of his body, some little details, a face, the hat, and it was all white and a little bit of misty around it. That's my first ghost story for you.
And he took the photo because I'm thinking double exposure, right? But this is a flip phone camera. Exactly. So that's not.
This is like a dude who's 65.
Yeah. And so. Right. He couldn't figure out how to download that. That's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it all seemed like, based on my knowledge of people, you know, of that age, I was like, it would be a lot for this dude to just be hoaxing people who are traveling. But, you know, me, I'm like, I'm going to stay in the middle. Maybe it was. Maybe he was just there to help people have fun. But man, I really believed it. And it was really, really convincing. And I've seen a lot of stuff like that and been like, whatever. But
when he got serious, were you afraid of him? Did he seem angry or did he just seem serious?
No, it had a sharpness to it, but not anger. He was kind of like, not like, believe me, you know, like, not like that, right. But just kind of like, believe me. And I was like, ooh, okay. And I,
this is a little wild. I've never looked into present day Tombstone, and it's they just kept it the exact. So it's basically a ghost town that they moved into, like to sell whiskey and stuff, right?
No, it's there's still mining happening there. That's still silver and gold mining happening.
Wow. Really? I want to go there. That would be a great trip because I also do want to mine for gold. I feel like maybe I could find some. Just try to use your mind and
what are you thinking? Meter? You're gonna spend like a weekend doing it, or how long?
I'd say a week.
Let's make a video. Let's go to Tombstone.
Do a whole week. Let's do it. Let's do the three of us. We can go. I'm down. It looks like fun.
I've got
living in the old West.
Metal detector.
One question, real quick. Are there horses there? Do horses like go up and down the street?
They do.
No, I can't go. I can't go. I'm allergic.
You're allergic to horses?
Yeah. I guess I could take a pill or something, but
we'll work out the details later.
You can get a horse shot.
I get a horse shot. I'll do it. I don't care. We'll put it on the company's credit card.
I'm allergic to horses.
My mom is the biggest horse person in the world, and she would keep putting me on horses when I was a child, and I would almost die. And she'd be like, well, I guess he hasn't grown out of it yet.
That's so funny, man, because like paralleling you, like my mom grew up in the Philippines eating fish from the ocean, and I don't eat seafood. She's very disappointed.
Willie, any supplemental? I don't know what you have prepared, but does any of it apply to Arizona or the gold rush?
No, we're getting into, I'll just jump into Poltergeist for a hot second. Like traditionally, Poltergeist is German for noisy ghost, basically. The traditional explanation is it's a malevolent spirit known for causing chaos and havoc in a home, often associated with, you know, just shit moving, noises, disturbing phenomena. In some cases, that like they believe, and I'm reading Wikipedia, they're believed to be attracted to individuals experiencing high levels of stress or emotional turmoil. So there definitely is some sort of attachment happening. And so sometimes poltergeists can follow people. Sometimes they can stay in a space. That's more the traditional stuff. And I you know, the house from Poltergeist that happened, and that was in Denver, where they moved the gravestones, but not the bodies. And you know, that was a traumatizing movie for me. I've said it a million times.
The quote, they didn't move the bodies. What is it?
You move the gravestones, but you didn't move the bodies. And he's just like, watching the house like the black hole.
Yeah, my next story is actually about a poltergeist experience that I had. And it's interesting that you would say that about stress in the house, because I know that. So this was like the classic, this was in high school, and the house was like, it was,
where
like,
were you?
I was in Detroit at the time.
Okay.
Everybody knew that this house was like the haunted house, right? Like it was like known, like I'm going to call it the Smack House, which is hilarious because that's like literally the name of the family that lived there. It's a Polish name, but it's not the crack house. That's not what I'm saying. So in the Smack House was famous for being really haunted. And I used to hear some terrifying stories about it, but you know, you don't know what's real and what's not. And I wasn't there, and so I don't know. But what I was there for was some real ass poltergeist stuff. I was dating the youngest Smack boy. And we would kind of sneak into his house, and we would
Jimmy Smack.
Yeah, it was Tommy, actually.
Tommy Smack.
Tommy Smack. I hope you're watching this, babe. You were a great kid.
Smack House. Get on the floor. House, Smack House.
Hey, yeah. I'm like, oh no, I'm giving him up. But if there's anybody from Detroit watching this, they might be like, dude, I've heard about the Smack House. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So I was in the basement of the Smack House.
They've heard about a dozen Smack Houses in Detroit.
Ooh, I've got some stories about that too. Anyways, I'd heard about all these things happening in the house, but I didn't believe them, despite, you know, my mom being like, oh, this is real and this is real stuff. And I was like, oh God, it's just the house settling, it's things creaking, it's whatever. And then one night we were watching a movie. I remember no one was in the house, which is why we were there. You know what I mean? We were like 16 or 17 years old. We're just watching this movie in the basement, and all of a sudden, the basement. So these houses in Michigan they all have sort of finished basements. That's like sort of the thing. And the basement door oftentimes, especially in houses from the 60s, is divided in half. So this bottom door, we had not closed it on purpose. Oh, look, I'm fucking the story all up. There was someone there. There was one of his parents was there. So anyway, so we were creeping in and we didn't close that half door to the basement and started watching this video because we didn't want to wake up whoever was there. Well, we didn't hear any footsteps at all, which you could hear in this house if anybody walked over. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that half door slammed shut and slammed like make the house shake. You know, like when you feel a door like really close.
Sure. Yeah.
And I went, oh, fuck. Like, your mom knows we're here. Like, we are in huge trouble. And he was very relaxed and went, nah, it's just the ghost. Like, we would have heard my mom if they were walking. And I was like, hold on a second. So I went up, and here's the twist is when we went up the stairs to look at the door, it hadn't closed.
Ooh.
It was still the way we had left it. And I mean, I'm telling you, dead ringer, like, you know, when someone slams a door in the house, like, it was wild. So I witnessed other things there that I know that's not like crazy, like something flying across the room or something. But I still to this day am a little bit shook by it because I did witness other things like knocking, whispering, things like that, that I couldn't really be like, is this weird? But when I was sitting with Thomas Smack and he verified with me that he also heard that door slam, I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. I know what I heard. You know what we heard. We felt the house shake, but the door wasn't even closed and nobody had done anything. So it was just like this echo of someone slamming the door throughout time or whatever, you know?
Or what if the ghost opened the top half and then slammed that?
It was the top half was completely open and the bottom half.
Oh, was a jar, was just, yes, a bit. Got
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it would have been stiff to close, you know, and would have been like, which is why we
did Tommy ever tell you about like what, because he was nonplussed by this. Right. So like, he's just like, no, it's the ghost. We're fine. It's not my mom. It's just a ghost.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. Wade, you're completely on it. We should get Tommy Smack on the show. Is what we should do.
Call him up. Let's see.
I can't remember if I were to relay some stories to you from that time, they would probably just be like mush of me trying to remember.
No, but do you remember just the general sort of like, it doesn't seem like he was afraid of them because mentioning it that casually. So he was never kind of like, he was just fine with living in a ghost house.
Well, he didn't have a choice. You know, he's a teenager and his parents wouldn't leave. And his parents were extremely Catholic.
Did the parents think it was haunted?
You know, I never talked to them about it, but I will say, as somebody who was raised Catholic, and I'm a Polish Catholic as well.
That means you're stupid. You're a stupid Catholic, right? Yeah. That's the joke about Polish people. No, but no, I mean, why the distinction of the, oh, I'm sorry. Why the distinction of the Polish Catholic? I don't know anything about that faith.
It's just really, really, really serious. They're just really serious about it. It's scary and intense, but okay. Is that we're not allowed to believe in those things. We're not allowed to believe in ghosts or poltergeists or anything. I'm not a practicing Catholic. Let me just say that. But yeah. Being raised there, you know, it stays with you. So that's what made this house kind of extra creepy, was they had like a superfluous amount of religious stuff all over the house to try to ward off these ghosts, but they wouldn't move. But I mean, I would hear stuff all the time from them just being like, oh, another day, another dollar, another ghost in the Smack house.
I guess that's why you just shouldn't be afraid, right? Because these people are just living in it without doing anything. So apparently it's fine.
Well, the daughter told me some scary stuff that happened to her. But see, I don't know. I don't want to cast aspersions. She would tell me, you know, that people were standing over her bed, or that she would see things in the middle of the night, not be able to move, paralysis, that kind of stuff. She talked about that often. But see, for me, I'm like, that could just be a dream. I don't really know if that's...
I mean, we talk a lot about sleep paralysis on this, and that's part of it. And I'd imagine that she was just spooked out by this house, and then her subconscious was kind of making those things happen, right?
I would venture to say the same, which is why I'm not even like kind of mentioning her in the story. All I'm saying is like, look, this thing happened. I was there and someone else was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happened, you know, and I can't talk myself out of it and be like, that's weird. That's the door. Blah, blah, blah.
It's interesting because like, I feel like you kind of think of it like I think of it. And if that happened to me, I don't know what I would not rationalize it, but like, I don't know what I would think. Like, did it change your life? Like, were you like, oh, there's more to this?
You know what? No, I just compartmentalized it and went on with my life. And now I'm telling you guys the story 20 years.
Yeah, but you were in high school. That's not the time for introspection, right? I mean, that's the time for fucking figuring shit out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's a great question. No, it didn't affect me really. I sort of just thought, hey, cool. And just carried on.
Yeah. Interesting. Willie, any, do you have any kind of,
the new age version of the poltergeist is kind of what we're getting into. So this guy from integrative mysticism, Nico, he was talking about, and I know that it's not, he's not alone in this, but in these thoughts and these beliefs, but I this is just the one guy that I was getting my main information from, but he was saying that as a medium, he believes in all this stuff, different forms of entities, you know, and he's like, you know, poltergeists aren't demons. They're not ghosts. And he does believe in both of those. And they're not sentient. He believes that they are created from our own energy. He calls them a thought form. Not like a tulpa where you like put intention into trying to create something.
Maybe we were so worried about that door making noise that we noise.
Yeah. So that's what I was kind of getting close to, is that like, it doesn't just happen every time you think of something. But if there's a lot of energy put into something, let's say negative energy, let's say like you were sexually molested by a family member or something. And you just have all this.
Who told you that, Willie? Did Kim tell you that? It's not true.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Like, so listen.
No, but I understand what you're saying.
Please go on.
It's energy that you're not manifesting. It's unwanted energy, right? But you are manifesting it subconsciously.
Also in the subconscious, but also in the same vein, could be subconscious, like greed or you know, sexual wants. Just saying, like anything that's just like a lot of like focused energy that may or may not be good or bad. Your life force can create something that is only focused on those things that created it. Most of them are associated with fear. If you've had some bad trauma, I always forget that, because the word trauma is in there, but I forget that there's more fear of it happening again than having to deal with what happened to you. It's like there's a bigger fear with it happening again. And so at any rate, I'm only
saying that. You were about to say PTSD, right? You never said but you're about to. Yeah.
Let's say that we have, because I do believe we have electrical fields, or do we have that we do have powers. If we created something, he's calling it a thought form, that was built off of our fear, then fear is what it seeks. And so if whatever this entity was at the smack house needed fear, smashing that door, both of you getting scared doesn't help it grow, but it like is what it needs, is what it wants. That's what it feeds on. That's what it is attracted to. It wants, it's like a two-way street. And if the fear is gone, then it's gone too. So It needs you to be scared.
It did seem like it was a little bit provokey. I'm telling you, like I heard knocks and I heard the whispers and stuff, but I don't tell those stories because there wasn't someone there with me to be like, I saw that too.
Yeah.
Which is like a big thing for me, obviously. But that is interesting that you would bring that up, because there was really nothing after that moment. And like we said, Tommy was very like, ugh, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's some new blood. It's like, maybe it slams it to him. It's like, didn't get you. I'll get you some other way. Or, you know,
yeah.
He was saying they're not sentient. And he was like, you know, basically he was trying to give advice to people, because as a medium, when you try to connect with entities, like as soon as you find out it's a poltergeist, like it will be focused on one thing. You won't get answers from it. Just move on from it, clear the room, like get rid of it. Like there's nothing you can get from it.
You get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, he, of course, had a tincture that he was selling, but also like, you know, various protection spells or, you know, I know I was turned off by him having the link to his concoction instead of just like, yeah, just give me the ingredients, I'll make it.
But everyone's hustling, who can blame him, right? It's not like he can work at the factory.
It's haunted. So much negative emotion from
Okay, let's launch into your do you still have a story?
I do.
Have a third story?
One last one for you.
All right, let's launch into it. Where were you? What was the era?
Where was I? It was Denver. The year was 2009. And you guys are familiar with Denver?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, sort of. I say, oh, yeah, but...
Sure, sure. Well, you know Colfax Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, it's like the...
Casa Bonita, the zoo.
Yeah, Casa Bonita. That's funny. I want to go there. Have you been there?
No, they haven't. They reopened it.
My sister is on the wait list. There's 55,000 people in front of her.
But here's the thing. I went on the South Park Writers Retreat. I'll bet I could make it. I could do a phone call, see if we could get bumped up.
For listeners that aren't familiar with Colorado, this is like this Mexican theme park restaurant.
But everybody knows South Park, right?
No, but yeah. The Casa Bonita is quite niche, I feel like.
I've had people ask me at work, like, they didn't know that was a real place. So it has a dive show, like, it's a huge place. The food was never that good. Well, the South Park creators bought this place because it was going under, made the food real good, and the whole state wants to visit it now.
And hopefully they remove the carpets, because that was the big thing. They're diving and then splashing water onto carpets where people are eating. And it's like, well, this is moldy and weird in here.
Humid and stinky. And
it was so humid. Like, it's like being in Florida, but you're in the middle of Colorado where it's not humid. It's a very off-putting way to eat dinner.
At least it's unique.
It's very unique. Oh, so anyway, so you're
Colfax. Denver.
You're in Denver. Oh, so you're on Colfax or something.
Also, for anybody who's not familiar, Colfax is like the main... Colfax was actually part of the original Oregon Trail. Did you know that? And it's the longest... Actually, somebody fact-checked me on that. But it's the longest road in America, I believe, as well. Anyway, so Colfax is iconic. And it's old. It's old. Very, very old. So I worked at a place across from the Bluebird music venue.
Love the Bluebird. Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. I've seen so many shows there. It's great.
Oh, my God. Me, too. I almost got kicked out of a show there once. Anyways, so I'm working at the place across the street, which is called Mezcal. If anybody is familiar with, I don't know if it's still there, but it was a kind of a staple for about 10 years, right across the street there. Anyways, the building itself had been there since about 1870. It was one of those like original sort of downtown looking, you know what I'm talking about. My boss, he's this guy named Paul, and he keeps telling me about this specifically Chinese ghost. Okay. And he's like, I think that this ghost is a dude who worked on the railroad, because for a long time there was a lot of Asian immigrants that stayed in this part of the. So it all kind of checked out with the history. Right. So the reason why he said this is a Chinese ghost is because he had the hat, the triangle hat and all that.
Oh, is it called a rice hat or is that?
Yeah, it's called a rice hat.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with the terms.
You got to be careful what you say. Everything you say, you just got to be like, I'm sorry ahead of time, and then it's okay.
I'm just describing how it looks with my eyeballs, triangle shape. So he and I are closing the bar down. Me and Paul, we're closing the bar down, and there is this woman who's like hunched over on the bar. And we can't get her to leave, but she's like passed out. And so we decide to go in the back and just count money and watch her on the monitors while we close up so that whatever ride she's getting might come there or whatever. So we're in the back and we're counting money. And all of a sudden, somebody walks into the room. We both look up at the same time. I see this human being for a split second, and then there's nothing there. And I'm mad. I remember I thought it was the girl. I thought it was the girl coming back to in the manager's office. And I was about to be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, what are you doing? So I look up and I'm all mad. And then there's nothing there. And we both, like I said, we both looked at the same time. And I just hear Paul say, you saw him. And I was like, I did see him. And he goes, that's the dude. I'm telling you, I see that guy all the time when I'm back here. And he likes to sit in the back of the room. Now, I didn't see him sit anywhere and I didn't experience him any other times. But the fact that I mean, just clear as day, this person walked in the room. He was a tall, tall individual. Like by tall, you know, I don't mean like he was like Shaq or anything, but like it wasn't a child. It was like an adult sized human, which made me be like, what are you doing here? You know, being so upset. Anyways, now I'm realizing in the same way that you're asking me about the Smack House, that I also just sort of was like, huh, and just like kept counting money.
Like, I don't know what other recourse there is other than walking through and just making sure he's not there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't do anything, but I remember his excitement that I saw the ghost as well, that he was like, oh my God, someone else saw it.
Right. Right.
And I really did. And I remember the silhouette of it. I remember, you know, when you can feel that somebody's walking sure. by you, even if you got your eyes closed, like it had that physical presence to it. And that by far was my realest experience. And
that's what I was going to ask, because when you both looked up, like, was it in your peripheral vision or did you or not?
Yeah, I would say that it was because I was looking down counting money. We're both looking down counting money and somebody walked in the room.
Okay.
And so I know that he didn't look up just because I looked up, because it was, you could feel it. We both went, you know, like, because when you're a bartender, you're on your toes a little bit. You got to make sure people get drunk. They act crazy. You got to be head on a swivel. And I really, truly believe that I saw something that day, and I think that he saw it too. And whether it was his ghost that he claims to have seen, I don't know. But the fact that somebody else was there with me again to sort of co-verify that that experience happened made it more powerful for me.
What were you going to say, though, about how it applies to your previous experience? And I feel like you were getting to like a manifestation kind of.
Oh, no. It was just that I compartmentalized it. It was the exact same.
Oh, right.
Like, what did you do after the Smack House, after witnessing Poltergeist? And I was like, I don't know. I just kind of carried on. You know, I just, the same thing with.
I like to think when you see a ghost and then someone else sees the ghost, it's almost like having a weird sexual proclivity and then like finding the internet and going like, oh, it's not weird. People are out there, like a furry or something. Can you imagine being a furry in the middle of a town with no furries? And then you go online and there's furries.
That was the energy he gave me, was like, finally. Yes.
Yeah. Because nobody believed him. But also, I would say in both, not that the Smack Boy told you about it beforehand, but in both situations, they believe in this thing and then experienced it with you. And so, like, it makes me go like, I like what this guy is saying about these things that are, it's almost like subconscious manifestations, that as soon as you saw it, his energy supported this thing that he believed in, you know? It's like, oh shit, it is real, you know? Like, you saw it too.
Yeah. And he was a very down to, both of them were. They were not cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or strange individuals. They were very level-headed, reasonable, fairly hot dudes, if I'm completely honest. Okay.
Well, the hot thing you could have left out.
There's a reason I mentioned that. No, I'm just kidding. I just
wait, but then, so like, how much longer did you work there? And I'm guessing it never happened again, right? And then if the guy, Paul, like, did it keep happening?
If it did, I probably chalked it off. Like, that's why my ghost stories are like, look, somebody else was there, right? Because I have one last little anecdote to tie on to this as well. That's not really a ghost, but a manifestation. But it wasn't in Denver. I don't want to switch too quick. But no, I never witnessed the ghost again. It was just that one time. But I mean, it was like by me for a second. And I can still feel that.
I understand what you're saying. You could feel it just like it was a person there. But was there any other emotions or anything that you felt, like dread or scared or anything like that?
I felt anger, but I thought that was my anger at somebody intruding on our space who was unwelcome, aka. But also to end the story, that girl was in the exact same place we left her. So she had nothing to do with it. She was still passed out. We had her on the camera. It was not her. There was no.
Did she get home okay?
Do you know what? I don't remember.
Well, okay, because maybe she's just a time traveling ghost and she's mad at you for not calling her an Uber.
But I felt an intense spike of anger for a second. And now that we're talking about it, I do feel like it was like a little more or a lot more intense than anything I would have probably felt before. I was like really angry for a second and then just.
Did you see the disappearing or did you look down and look back up and he was gone?
It was when I tried to look at him. It was almost like trying to look at a shadow. I couldn't quite.
It's like that Doctor Who episode where you can kind of see him from your peripheral and then you look and they're gone.
Right. Yeah. And it was, you could tell he came into the room and dissipated somehow, but yeah, it was black. It was clearly a man. It was clearly a human as far as its shape and vibe, I guess, for lack of a better word. And yeah, I guess that's all I've got.
It's weird because if we're living in a world, because this is something we've actually never talked about, which is ghost stories that were manifested by the person who you saw them with, right? So that means, like, because in both of your cases, it could mean that these two individuals were making this thing happen,
right?
In a weird way.
They couldn't deal with it. They had, I mean, not that they needed to have issues, but yeah, they're perpetuating.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see it. And that's where it gets scary to me because, like, yeah, go ahead, like, deal with your own demons, but, like, don't bring them into my world, man. I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. And I will say one thing that's happening now in these descriptions is they're saying the combination of like hormonal changes, mood swings, potential sleep disturbances during menopause can make it difficult for women to cope with the added stress of dealing with the poltergeist. I've heard this a few times that, like, women going through menopause are very big on creating poltergeists without knowing it. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. I haven't heard that. And then once I heard it, I just kept hearing it. This is a side story, but like Carl Jung had an experience while he was talking to Freud where he heard a loud crack, right? And that they were hanging out talking and he's like, it's going to happen again. And then it did. And he explained it as like a manifestation of energy. Because he knew it was going to happen again. And Freud was like, nah, you know, the wood's settling or whatever. So like, it's just funny that they have a story together that like.
I love what you're saying here because actually my last story, which isn't even really a story, it's just sort of a thing. But my mother, she claimed that she had a ghost that would follow her that smelled like roses. And I swear to you that three times in my life over my childhood, I smelt those roses. And she would be like, you smell it? And I'd be like, I do. And then it would just go away. It would come out of nowhere. And there would be no reason for it. There was no flowers. There was no reason. And it would be clear as day.
No wind from outside. Like I've heard this stuff too, that like
the smell
entities bringing. Yeah, totally. Totally.
And but I'm maybe like, that was so, her.
Yeah. It's interesting if it is.
Cause it only happened around
smells
her.
It and projects it so much that you can smell that energy was created. That's fascinating.
No, because one time I asked her, I was like, what is this smell? Did you put on perfume or something? And she was like, no. And she did the same thing Paul did and went, it's that ghost I've been telling you about. And I was like, what?
See, this topic fucks with me because I felt like I got over fear. And now I'm going like, wait, this is fear driven. So like, I can get scared enough again to create something. Cause like my only ghost story is, I was like, oh, I'll trick it. After watching Poltergeist, I was freaked out my whole life. Couldn't sleep. I think I don't know how old I was. I'm going to guess I was between 8 and 12, which is a huge range. I tried to trick a ghost into revealing itself to me. I was like yelling in the closet at a point being like, you suck. I can tell you here. You're so stupid. Blah, blah, blah. And then I got scared and tried to leave the room. I was at least 6 feet away from the door, maybe 3 feet, 3 to 6 feet. The light switch was so hard in my room that like we would walk out and hit the switch and it would flick back up like, oh, you didn't do it hard enough.
Mm.
And the light switch shut off before I got to the door and I froze. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh,
I did the thing. I made a ghost reveal himself to me.
I like how you gasped. That was the best that you gasped, because I've seen Willie tell this story a bunch and like no one ever really cares.
Yeah. Oh my, I'm like that door was not the smack door. That thing was not like a, you know, it was like you had to yank on it to close it. So yeah, I feel that. Damn, you know, now that we're talking about this, I'm like, I got all kinds of crazy stuff I could tell you guys, but those are my hits.
Yeah, well, let's keep talking about it in the bonus episode. It's just interesting because we've never talked about, I don't think, in the 10 years we've done this show or however long it is now, I don't think we ever talked about like manifesting poltergeists.
Yeah,
That kind of changes everything, right? Because then it's not about if I believe it or not, because it's not really happening to me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm really emotionally level and like there's no way that I could ever manifest some kind of poltergeist, because I'm just so good at like my own brain. I'm really good at it or whatever, so I'll never have a poltergeist. But I didn't know that being around other people would
yeah, well, that seems to be my experience. Yeah. Now that I'm telling it.
Yeah, and it's crazy that energy can end up staying with something or staying with a person, following them from house to house. Because that always freaked me out about poltergeist stories, is like following the person instead of staying.
Well, there's a guy I wasn't going to say this, but I just watched Everybody's in L.A., the John Mulaney.
Oh my Netflix. God, it's brilliant!
It's great, right?
Yeah,
and they had a guy on who was like, he's a scientist, but he's also a ghost guy. You probably know who he is. I don't remember his name. He's very tanned. He's got like too much hair for his age. And a very slight man. And he was talking about how like, yeah, no, like sometimes ghosts will like follow the person. That means the person is haunted. It's stuff that we've talked about before. But his whole thing was like, he was standing in a kitchen and a pan flew out of a cupboard at him. And he's like, okay, what caused that? And so he like digs through the cupboard. Like he's trying to like figure out why these things.
Yeah, yeah.
To see if they're hoaxes or not.
Science, magnetism,
yeah.
Whatever.
Right. I fully believe that like 9,999 things can be chalked off to coincidence or reflection or just a trick of the mind, as they say. But I do believe there's that one out of 10,000 that you're like, I don't know what that was.
You also got to like, if we're talking about manifesting poltergeists, then you almost have to go one step below and be like, is this telekinesis? Like, was he so scared that his mom was going to come down? Or listen, I don't know your relationship. Did he want you to leave so bad that like the door slammed, like he made it slam with his telekinesis,
right?
Without knowing it.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past Tommy Smack. He was otherworldly. He had interesting vibes, but he wasn't. But he was very.
Hey, don't talk smack on Smack.
Don't talk smack on Smack. Yeah, poor Tom Smack, I hope you're listening. I love you. You were a really great kid.
I mean, Tommy Smack, he sounds like he should be in the Sex Pistols or something, right?
Tommy
like,
yeah.
Well, let's wrap it up. Unless Willie or Katie, if you have any final things to say.
No, I've had so much fun. Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you for being here. Once again, go to Twitch, The Professor's Wife X. You can see Kat Smo is your stage name. We'll say it's a stage name. Mm-hmm. Kat Smo, you can see her do her Twitch stuff. And you do radio shows? And do you do games as well?
I do. Yeah, I just finished Elden Ring.
How was it?
Oh, my God. Can we talk about it in the bonus episode? I've got
yes.
Much.
Oh, yeah. Great. I haven't played it. Willie, have you played it?
I started it, and I'm like, this is too big. I got to get out for a second.
I know. I'm a little overwhelmed by it. Let's talk about it on a bonus. So you do games, you do music.
I do. Yeah. So in the daytime, I have a daytime thing where I play the games, and then we have in the nighttime programming where we do something called Generic Radio Show. We do all kinds of stuff. It's basically a talk show, but it's live. And I have co-hosts. I have guests. We do karaoke. We do interviews. We do
radical. So yeah, cool.
It's sounds really like a blast. Fun. And it's wild. And I'm sorry, besides the interviews, we do also, we play games, not like gaming, like we play games with chat. But also we focus big time on mental health. So my stream is a place where you can come and be like, yo, like I'm actually kind of not doing great right now. It's got a little bit of support group vibes. So Twitch is very, I've found it's a space that really they kind of want you to perform and be happy all the time. And my stream is a place where you can be a little more real. I kind of call it the dive bar of streams. Like it's awesome. Very welcoming. Everybody knows each other. We all talk about our highlights and lowlights of the day. We talk about trauma, but not in like this crazy way where everybody's doing a sob story thing. It's a very positive place, but it's a very real place.
Side it. Story. That Have you great. Seen Psycho 4?
No,
I just talked about
how is this? How is this not a non sequitur? What do you mean?
I talked about this recently because this is the episode of Psycho where there's a radio host. Somebody calls in and wants to spill the beans on some bad things they did. It's the psycho guy talking about all the murders that he did.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So it's like,
I have had some interviews go wrong, but when I was young, when I was in Nashville, I used to host a show. It was called Plugged In, and I interviewed tons of bands over the time when I hosted this show. And so my interview skills, anytime anything starts to get a little weird, I'm like, and thank you so much for being here. We can't wait to see you again. You know, appreciate it.
You're seeing all my moves. You're right. Seeing them live. So once again, twitch.com, however it goes, I don't know if it's a slash, but the name is The Professor's Wife X. You settled on The Professor's Wife X for some reason.
It's a mystery.
Let's leave it at that. Maybe you can decrypt it, or maybe if you show up to her show, she'll let you know. So go do that. Also go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Kat Smoe, thank you so much again for being here. Go find her on all the socials and everything. And thank you for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Real life sci-fi.